The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you. Some of you guys are like, what is going on up there? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's better than what's going on in some of your rooms tonight as you are frantically throwing your backs out trying to, you know, wrap your presents. By the way, just a note to some of you, if you were born with a 19 in front of your name, you need something on your back as you wrap presents tonight, okay? This is just something I've had to learn, and I just want to pass it on to you. If you are a 2-0, you're close to it, but if you have a 19, you for sure need it. So that's just for me to you, a little pastoral wisdom. Church family, in our Advent season of waiting, Advent season is a season that means to wait, but it's not empty waiting. This is not empty waiting at all. This is purposeful waiting that's meant to fill you with promise. And Advent teaches us, it teaches us a line between longing and fulfillment. And I just want you to hear that because a lot of us, we long for something better. We long and yearn for a newer world, a better world. But for centuries, God's people wanted and waited for salvation. They begged for salvation. They waited through darkness and exile and silence and suffering. And then in the fullness of time, God did not send a message. He sent his son. That's what Advent is about. And so tonight, we kind of come to the culmination of the Advent season. And when we talk about the Advent season, especially here at Selma, we've talked about this idea of what to expect when you're expecting. And if you, again, if you're one of the people that have a 19 in front of your name, you've probably heard of that book. It's a book that it comes with pregnancy that was given to us. And week by week, we've kind of traced the fullness of God and the fulfillment of God and the faithfulness of God in the nearness and mercy that he gives to us as he reigns with us. And so we want to talk about tonight how you should expect God to save. You should expect God to save. And we have the expectation of God throughout all of these things. Now, we have these candles. Let's see if you guys were paying attention the last couple weeks. Again, I'm going to push this down. Do not light on fire. The first candle is the candle of hope. Hope. But we got people yelling out. The second candle is the candle of... That was you, Charity. Yeah. Peace. And then we go to joy. Yes. Look at that. All right. There we go. And then the second to last one, love. I heard that from the back. Good job. And then tonight, we get to light the middle candle, which is the Christ candle. All the other ones we've talked about every single week, hope, peace, joy, love, are all found in Christ. And so the fun part about Advent is that we get to be a part of that. We get to be a part of who Christ is. And so we light that tonight, remembering that Christ is the culmination of all of these things. Watch it not light on me. There it is. Now, let me tell you before we really get into this, for the parents, especially if you haven't been here all that much, I don't care if your kid is yelling or talking or squeaking or anything. I really don't care. Amber's in the back. She can turn it up if need be. I do care if your phone goes off, so put that thing on silent mode, right? Because you can turn a phone off. You can't turn a child off. I have four. I've tried it with all of them. It doesn't work, okay? So don't worry about them talking. I'm not worried about that. Yes, yeah, see? right on cue. So don't worry about the kids at all. Again, I have four of my own. They do what they do. But if you have a Bible or a Bible app, you have a sword or a light sword, I want you to turn to John chapter 1, first chapter of John, starting in verse 1. So John chapter 1, verse 1. And once you get there, stand in the honor and reading of God's word. John chapter 1, verse 1. The word says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him, not anything was made that was made, was not made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There is a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness to the light that all might believe in him through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light, the true light that gives everyone who is coming into this world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet, the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did not receive him, and all that believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And last verse. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as the Son of the Father, the full of grace and of truth. This is the word of the Lord. If I were to give you one thought for this evening to walk into Christmas, it is this. The Word became flesh to bring light and life to all who believe. The Word became flesh to bring light and life to all who believe. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for becoming flesh, incarnate, that you came down to earth in the weakest form, a baby, but with all power of heaven and earth in your hands. The one who created all things came to show us all things through your birth. We thank you so much that we get to celebrate that. And as we get up tomorrow and we drink coffee and open presents and laugh and take joy in our children doing all these things, let us not forget the reason we do all of this. Let us remember that the tree that we sit under points to you. Let us remember that the star that is on top pointed to you. Let us remember that the ornaments are there to point to you. Everything points to you. And we thank you for this. Father, tonight, just let us reflect on who you are and the goodness of all you've done for us. In your name we pray, and all God's people would say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I know a lot of you guys are like, man, he's setting up for a big... I'm not. I'm not going to do the whole thing. But I did want to talk to you a little bit because I think there's some things that you should know about Christmas that we just forget. Honestly, we forget. I think that you should remember that Jesus is the creator who entered his creation. That's what we just read in John chapter 1. He's the creator who entered creation. And a lot of times we talk about people, like you talk about God like he's far off. He's way out there. He's not going to talk to you. He's not going to touch you. But no, this is a creator who came into creation. John tells us plainly, all things were made through him. Jesus wasn't just a part of the story. He's the author of the story. And the author of the story put himself in the midst of the story. The one lying in the manger is the same one who spoke the stars into existence. The hands that would one day be pierced are the same ones that formed humanity. Like, I just want you to grasp that. If you think about this at all over the next 24 hours, I want you to grasp how much this matters, because this matters that salvation is not accomplished by a helper. It's accomplished by the creator himself. That's the beauty of what happens on this day. I think what's really, really cool is light entering into darkness. I remember as a kid, my brother, he liked to lock me in a closet. I have a big brother. And he would like push me in the closet, lock it shut, right? I was a skinny little thing, not anymore. But that was what I used to do. And it was scary in there because it was just dark, right? Just black in there. And I remember one time I knew he was going to do this to me, and so I took a flashlight with me. And the fun part about flashlights, if you know anything about light, is when you turn on what flees, the darkness or the light? The darkness, the light overcomes it. Darkness flees. Now, the fun part about that is when I turned the light on, I could see everything, including stuff I probably didn't know was in there, stuff from my parents they had back in the back of the closet I forgot about. But it was great because I could see. I was no longer scared. You see, in verse 5 of this that I just read, John doesn't deny that darkness is here. Neither should we. There are a lot of people that kind of go like Pollyanna, like everything's great. It's not. There's darkness here, and John names the darkness. He says, hey, this is here. It's real. Sin, brokenness, rebellion, death, we've all seen it. We've all seen it. We've all experienced it. But Christmas doesn't pretend that the world is fine. No, it declares God entered all of that in anyway. He said, hey, I know it's not right. Let me enter into it with you. Jesus didn't come into the darkness to make you more comfortable. He came to defeat it. And for the Christian, that should be a good thing, because that light still shines in you and I, no matter where we go. And see, that's the beautiful part about what Christmas is the incarnation, the Christ coming in meat, coming in flesh, is the heart of God's saving plan. We think all the time, like, man, this is so cool that Jesus died on the cross. And that's great, but like, you have to understand the beginning of the plan is him coming. Not just showing up on a white horse, not just killing everything. No, he showed up and said, hey, I'm here to save you. This is the miracle of Christmas. This is the miracle of Christmas. By the way, I want you to understand that God didn't shout from heaven. No, he stepped into weakness. He stepped into weakness. When you and I want to be strong, I mean, when we want to, and we love strong men. We love to be around strong people. I go work out at the Link, and I found a guy that looked like an upside-down triangle to help me out the other day because he's really strong. Like, I love strong people. We all would do that. But when you look at what's going on, God said, I'm going to work and function out of weakness. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, but if you've ever been around a newborn, you know how weak they really are. Newborns can do all of nothing for you. Matter of fact, if you understand, I see some parents like, yes, no, that's for real. when you're around a newborn, you understand what unconditional love is because they have nothing to give you. I mean, besides the dirty diapers and the screams at 0:30 in the morning, right? Right? They have nothing to offer you. Yet Christ came as that. Incarnation tells us that salvation is not abstract. It's personal to God. He came to be with you and I. And God draws near knowing that not just to forgive sin, but to restore a relationship with you and I. That's how you do it. When the relationship's broken, you draw nearer to that person. You hold that person. One thing that I saw a mom do one time, she was mad at her kids. She fussed at them. And after they got done arguing with each other, she made them hold each other. They just had to hold each other. I've seen that a couple times. I've done that with my kids. I saw that one time where a mom found a big shirt and put both the kids in the shirt so they had to face each other, and they were just stuck there. And it's funny because at first, they're just mad, right? One's red-faced, the other was like, I hate you, you know, your mama. Well, that's my mama. You know, like it's that, just that back and forth. And then eventually, they kind of turn their ire towards their parents. Like, why has mom got us in here? This is so stupid. She's dumb. But they're saying it's, you know, quiet enough that they don't get, like, catch a backhand, right? So they're saying that. And then eventually, over time, they start to love each other again. Why is that? It's proximity. I'm now in front of you. Now it becomes kind of funny. We're stuck in a stupid t-shirt together. I'm looking at you. You know how goofy you look this close up? Right? Like, next thing you know, they're laughing at each other after spending 5 minutes holding each other or in the t-shirt together. Why? Proximity. God understood this from eons past. He drew near, not just to forgive you of your sin. That's not why he drew near. He drew near to restore a relationship with you, to be in proximity with you, so he could love you better. I need some of you in here, and you may think, man, I got saved a long time ago. Salvation is not an achievement badge that you get on a game. It's not something that you achieve in life. It's not a merit badge you get if you're a Girl Scout or Boy Scout. That's not what it is. It is received from Christ. It's a gift. You want to know why we give gifts? It's received. This is a gift that's received. Salvation isn't earned by effort. You can't do enough. You can't be good enough to get salvation. No, it's not by birth. It's not by morality. It's not by religious performance. And there's too many of us that love religious performance. It's not by any of that. It's by trusting in Christ alone. Now, from that trust, there should be some fruit, right? It should look a certain way. It should smell a certain way. It should act a certain way. I'm a Chiefs fan, if you guys don't know. Some of you guys may know that. I'm a huge Chiefs fan. And here's the thing. I love my Chiefs, and right now I'm extremely happy with them. And you guys are like, what? You guys are out of the playoffs, and Mahomes got like one knee, and like the other guys lost his knee this next week, and it was bad. Here's why I like it. I'll just tell you a secret, just us girls, okay? Here's my secret. My secret is all the bandwagon people are jumping off. Because, you see, I've been a fan since the 80s. Anybody remember the 80s Chiefs? Yeah, so some of y'all weren't even born. It's okay. I was a fan when it was Marty Schottenheimer, 3 yards and a cloud of dust. I was at the game where we didn't punt, and it was below zero. It was against the Indianapolis Colts. It was a playoff game, number one seed, and we lost. I've been a fan for years. I love that all the Swifties are leaving. Right? It makes me so happy. I'm not going to see Taylor this year in the playoffs. It's great. Great. Travis, go get married. That's great. Here's the thing. A lot of people jump on a bandwagon, religious bandwagon, to go, well, I'm a Christian, and they say it, but they don't believe it, and they don't stick through it. There's no fruit. The fruit of being a Chiefs fan is going through the good times and the bad times. The fruit of being a true believer in Jesus Christ is walking through all of it. The highs and the lows, the mountaintops and the valleys. It's actually bearing fruit in all of those seasons. And sometimes it's really hard. There's a drought in your life. Things aren't going right. It's not pointed the right direction. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, okay? But the fruit of a Christ follower shows over and over. It's not anything you've done, not anything you've earned. You have been adopted into a family. You're not merely, you're not as merely forgiven. You're brought into a family. And you see, your salvation is made complete in Jesus Christ. John tells us that he came full of grace and truth. I love that he says that, because grace forgives fully. Now, some of y'all have talked to somebody in your life. You're like, I forgive you. And then you walk out like, I'll never talk to that person again, right? That's not grace. Repent. Okay, so like, it's not. But nothing is lacking in full grace. Nothing is left unfinished. Christmas points us forward to the cross, an empty tomb. Christmas starts you off with a baby and points you forward where salvation is secured forever. And I want to talk to you about this, especially to those that are old heads from here. Some of you guys have popped up again, which I love seeing. Because I think tonight is significant in another way. It's our last gathered worship service at SOMA. 10 years of being in this building, causing all kinds of trouble. Some of y'all know what that means, right? Now, I do want to just side note, we are going to get together again in 2026. Just whatever, we're trying to figure that out. Keep your ears to the ground. Times like this carry gratitude and reflection and hope all at the same time. But hear this clearly. I need you to hear this clearly. The same God who started this church and carried us to this moment is the same God that will travel with you from it. The same God that was in the living room with some of y'all that were in the living room with us, that has been here through the highs and lows when we didn't have AC or heat, through COVID, through all of that, is the same God that will travel with you. His light does not dim. His light doesn't dim because this gathering ends. I was sitting in Sam's, and I was talking to my best friend you guys have heard about for years, BJ. And he said, I was fussing at him about the church and what's going on. And he said, hey, do me a favor, jump on Google Maps and look up Ephesians Baptist Church. And I was like, well, that sounds really stupid. And I looked it up. I found one in Philadelphia. So there's one up there if you ever want to go. But he's like, no, like in Ephesus. And I looked in there. There's not one. He goes, well, look up, Philippians Methodist Church. And I went up Philippians. And I said, okay, I get your point. I get your point. I'm in the back aisle by the freezer stuff. And I said, I get your point. And he goes, they've finished their assignment, but the same God that was with them is with you. And he will continue to walk with every believer. Light does not dim. And the word does not stop dwelling amongst his people. God is still saving people. God is still faithful. And God is still near. And the story he's writing in each of you is not finished. So what do you expect now? What do you expect when you're expecting? Let me just land the plane. You should expect God to save sinners because that's why Christ came. By the way, if you didn't raise your hand in your head, at least when you ask, who's a sinner? That's me, that's you, that's all of us. He saves us. You should expect God to sustain you, even in seasons of change, like we're going through right now. You should expect God to sustain you. You should expect God to keep shining his light through every place you are sent. As you go, you shine his light. And you should expect God to finish what he started. Because salvation belongs to him. And him alone. The Apostle John tells us that the Word became flesh and brought light and life to all those who believe. So, Christmas, It's not just about a baby boy. I mean, it's a lot about him, but it's not just about a baby boy. It's about a Savior that has been given to you and I. That's what it's about. It's about a Savior that's been given to you. It's about word that has become flesh. It is about light that has entered darkness. It is about salvation that has come. And when we leave this place tonight, we leave with confidence in not in ourselves, but in Christ. Because you can expect him to save. Because he already has saved. And because he will not fail you. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much. I thank you that over and over and over, you have shown us that you will not fail. Father, I thank you because you remind us that this isn't just about you coming, but you showing everything that we need to know in and through you. Father, I thank you because this is a time right now where we get to remember you. I ask that you help us in the hustle and bustle of our family and friends, food and dinners, everything that we do, that we remember you, the light of the world, the full extent of love, peace, joy, and hope, the only thing that actually fulfills all of these in our life. Father, help us because you're worthy. And thank you that this Christmas season and every way it points to you. We praise you and we thank you. In your precious name we pray, and all God's saints would say.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.